Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I reckon watching cartoons and animated movies is one of the best things about being young. Their stories, their lines, or the sheer pleasure from these great films, so often etched in our brains for life. We've had a number of Hollywood stars and film producers on Open House over the past few years, but I reckon my next guest is the biggest yet. He started making films at the tender age of 10 and moved to California by 18 to pursue a career in motion pictures. He's worked in computer animation and as a director in a career spanning decades. Barry Cook has worked on some of the greatest and most well-known animations of our time, including Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Little Mermaid. Barry has long been at the top of his game in filmmaking, and he's also taken great joy in telling the story of Jesus through the Japanese anime cartoon format. Most recently, he's directed a 3D animation called Walking with Dinosaurs, due for release in Australia early next year. In a life of enormous success, Barry's also faced huge challenges, some heartbreaking moments, lots of knockbacks. Through it all, though, he's maintained a certain equilibrium about it all. Barry Cook, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Lee. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you with us. I must say, a very good friend of Open House, Bernie Diamond, told us about you, and he says you're one of the most understated, gentle human beings you can ever come across. So how does that balance with all the success you've had in an industry that's forever up in lights?
Well, I appreciate the compliment from Bernie, but for me, it's all about keeping an even keel and keeping a calm head when people around you are losing theirs sometimes. So it's just also a matter of putting things in perspective. I just feel like, you know, as a career, it's been a great career and a fabulous work, but, you know, the more important things in life are more important, and I just try to keep things in perspective and not get too lost in it.
I'm sure that's a great recipe for longevity, if nothing else. Barry, how different would you say you are today than when you were at 18 when you walked into California to work in motion pictures?
Well, I was pretty naive at that age coming in. It was really tough to get a start. I know I'm a lot older and wiser now than I was then, but at the same time, my love for making movies has never dwindled, never diminished.
From 10 years old, that was the moment, as I said, that you made your first movie.
Right. At the age of 10, I made a 3-minute, 20-second version of Dickens' Christmas Carol, and that was due to the fact that that was the length of a roll of Super 8 movie film that I used in my dad's camera to take the picture, and my brother was in it, and my best friend were in it. It was fun. It was a great fun, a great start, and then I started experimenting with animation shortly after and made my first animated film when I was about 13 years old.
That's amazing. Do you have a first memory of when movies or animation really captured you long before the age of 10 and what that was?
It was cartoons, really, on television. We had a show here that I loved called Huckleberry Hound, and I remember one instant, we were on vacation, up in the Appalachian Mountains, in the Great Smoky Mountains. I remember my parents trying to drag me out of the hotel to go for a nature hike in the morning, but I didn't want to leave Huckleberry Hound. I couldn't stand to put them to pull me away from the television. And also, the motel had a color TV, which we didn't have at home at the time, so to see Huckleberry Hound in color was phenomenal.
And they were probably totally depressed that you were such an indoors person, but there you go. It's just delivered the most marvelous career to you.
Yeah, and a lot of it has taken me out. I mean, I continued to make films through junior high, high school, and a lot of those movies were just live action, just kooky stuff. I know there's a lot of kids probably doing that nowadays. You have such great camera, even on your smartphone now. Phenomenal what you can do. We didn't really have that technology, but, you know, we're outdoors a lot in the shooting stuff in the woods, and, you know, but the animation really is an indoor activity. You know, it used to be just pencil and paper and just like a group of monks, you know, copying something, you know, just working away and sort of quietly and peacefully, and that sort of temperament. Maybe that's part of the temperament too,
yes.
But just that hands-on way that I started in the industry of drawing.
Through so many years in the business, it's unavoidable to pick up some considerable wisdom, especially when it comes to working with people and getting the best out of people. What are some of the big things that you've learnt between 18 and now, Barry, working in this business?
Well, some of them probably sound cliche because cliches are generally true, but I think one of the biggest things is to surround yourself with people who are better than you are at what they do. And it was a real eye-opener for me. In high school, I was known as the guy that could draw things. I could draw anything, and people were, like, fascinated that I could draw and make movies, and they were just like, that was great. But the day I walked into the doors of Disney Studios, I knew that my abilities as an artist were at the very, very bottom of the pecking order in the studio. As good as I maybe was for my age, I didn't hold a candle to most of the people around me. And I think you can get very discouraged sometimes by things like that. You could also get envious, or you could get, oh, woe is me, or am I ever going to do it? But to find a way to be inspired by the people you work with, even the people that, in my case, people that I supervise day in and day out on various projects, I really do admire them a lot. And I think that that's gone a long way with me. My father is a fine artist, a painter. And I have a brother who's an illustrator and a sister who's a fine artist. And wow. Art sort of ran in the family. But we were brought up with a great respect for artists. Let's say maybe some directors don't have that respect for the talent they work with, whether it be actors or production designers or animators. But for me, it's paramount to have a high regard for the people you work for and the work that they do. I've always been able to get good results. I think that may be one reason, because I really do respect their abilities.
It's great wisdom in that. So how did you then move up the pecking order if you were so low in it? Because it is also such a school of hard knocks. How did you press on? How did you move up and still keep that equilibrium?
Well, very slowly. It wasn't meteoric by any stretch of the imagination, but part of it for me is keeping your head down, doing your work as an animator, being productive. I think productivity is something that your supervisors tend to really appreciate, especially in animation. Animation is a very slow process. Even nowadays with computer graphics, it still takes a good deal of time to animate a scene, depending on what it is. Sort of working hard, trying to meet the deadlines that are given me, trying to have my work always be the highest caliber that I could muster. That was also something, I think, that people noticed and then gave me opportunities within the studio. I came into Disney Studios on the motion picture Tron, the original Tron, an assistant animator. That had been my position at Hanna-Barbera Studios prior. And quickly, because there was just so much work to be done, I was quickly promoted to an animator. And the management of Walt Disney Feature Animation at the time, they had seen my work. I was one of three artists hired to be part of their permanent feature animation staff. A big opportunity came when Disney opened a studio in Florida, and by that time I was married with a young family, and we thought it might be good to raise family and away from Hollywood, if you will. And we moved here, and I became a bigger fish in a smaller pond at Disney's Florida studio. That studio is no longer open, but I think that helped too. And then I began making short films, eventually did Mulan there at Disney's Florida studios.
Barry, your Christian faith has been an important part of that journey. How's it connected with your work, or how's it shaped your head in doing this kind of work in that kind of industry?
Most of the films I've worked on have been classified as family films. I haven't done a lot of work that would be, I guess, controversial, obscene, or anything like that. You know, I just haven't, those kind of projects haven't really come across my desk. I got into cartooning at a studio that did Saturday morning cartoons for children. Then I went on to Disney that did family movies. And then after that, I was sort of known as a guy that did family type fare. And most of the projects that I get involved with now are really family films. And so, you know, that's one thing. You know, I haven't really been involved in projects that I wouldn't want to show to my kids, I guess.
Yes, yes.
Personally, one thing that really connects is just the idea of creativity and using our gift of creativity. The first way that God is described in scriptures is as the creator. That's the very first way he's talked about in scripture. And if we are to reflect his image, then we certainly must be creative, or should be creative. So I think part of it is knowing that I was made to be creative. I feel like I'm in the right spot. I'm doing the work that I was created to do. That's a big thing of just even when times get tough, it's like, I know I'm meant to do this. I know I'm meant to be here. That's a big part of it mentally, I think, of staying in the game, if you will.
And it opens up opportunities, as I said before, this Japanese anime cartoon format telling the story of Jesus. Can you tell us what that's like and what that's meant to you?
After the Disney studio closed here in 2004, I met some folks that were connected with Campus Crusade for Christ International. They had done a live-action film on the life of Christ. It's just one of the great stories, one of my favorite films growing up. I loved to watch Jesus of Nazareth, Franco Zeffirelli's depiction. It was a six-part miniseries originally, but then edited down into a feature. But I was just sort of looking for, you know, ideas and ways of maybe bringing the gospel to light with animation. We call it the Jesus anime, but the anime film was titled My Last Day, about a 6 or 7 minute long film. I put together a screenplay from it using only dialogue that was recorded and used in the original Jesus film, the feature film, because that film has been translated in hundreds of languages, thousands by now. But if we use that as dialogue, then this short film could also be translated into just as many languages, and it has been translated in probably 35 languages already by now. And it's probably the most violent film I've ever worked on, depiction of Christ's flogging and crucifixion. But it's really the story of one of the thieves who was crucified with Jesus on that day. And the original title of the piece was a little longer. It was My Last Day on Earth. And that's really the way I like to refer to it. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And it's really his story about his day, how his day started as an incarcerated prisoner by the Romans, and the crucifixion as seen through his eyes, if you will, and his encounter with Jesus on the cross. And I thought that was just a powerful point of view of the story. The film doesn't actually go into the resurrection. It just ends with that day.
Because that was the end of his life.
It was the end of his life on earth, and that was the end of the story. That film, I would say, is not for children. It's you can find it online. It is harsh. You know, it's hard to watch, but it's powerful. My intention for that was for an older teenage audience, really, or adults that might enjoy that style of animation, that type of depiction.
Hard to watch and difficult, but that's what the story was. I mentioned before, amid all your success and great success, there have also been great setbacks, heartbreaks. One of them, you've actually mentioned as well, Walt Disney Feature Animation Studios in Florida shut down. That was a big setback for you.
It was, and my film was being produced there, but the whole kit and caboodle, including my film, was just like, boom, it was all shut down. And that was a heartbreak, but I tell people, more films are not made than are made. And a lot of great films never get made. It's the odds of the business, almost. A lot of people have a lot of ideas. There's a lot of screenplays. There's a lot of talented filmmakers. And some make it to the screen, and some don't make it to the screen. But to be able to bring a more original work, or something that had a lot of my own stamp on it, I guess you would say, as in terms of story and characters, I still sort of desire to do that. But I've worked on other people's films, and the latest one, Walking with Dinosaurs.
Which I want to talk to you about. Can I just ask this question before? Is there any kind of formula or mathematical calculation for the number of hours it takes in animation to make, say, 1 minute of feature-length film?
We animated on Walking with Dinosaurs. There's roughly 800 animated shots in the movie. There's other live-action portions of it, but there's about 800 animated shots. And a crew of about 40 animators were at work on that for about 16 months.
Wow.
14 to 16 months, I believe. So breaking it down further than that, I guess you could just maybe do some of the math, but it takes a while. And, you know, just like anything, all shots are not created equal. Some may have 4 or 5 characters in them. Some may be a close-up of a character's face, you know, simple reaction or something. But, you know, depending on the scene that gets plopped in your lap as an animator, you know, it could take you a week to do, or it could take you a day to do. But it's still a sort of a slow process.
Yes. So tell us about Walking with Dinosaurs. What was that like to work on? What's the impact that you expect when it's released next year?
Well, it's being released here in the States on the 20th of December, just before Christmas, and I think in Sydney the first week, maybe in January or early next year. A lot of people would probably remember the TV series Walking with Dinosaurs. It was aired about 10 years ago, and it was more of a educational show. I mean, it had an entertainment component to it. This feature film, Walking with Dinosaurs, is more of a narrative, the story of one dinosaur's life. I like to talk about this story thematically more. It's the story about survival, but the way I looked at it and what I really tried hard to get into the film and into the story was not that it's always tough to survive or we fight to survive or animals have to fight to survive in the animal kingdom, but not sort of how to survive, but more of why we survive and why we struggle to survive. We do it because of the people we love and our families and our loved ones is why we sometimes take the hard road to preserve our families and our communities and to live among the people that we love. You know, I think all movie stories, all well-told movie stories really point to a bigger story. Usually a group of people that need a savior, whether yes. It's Spider-Man or Superman or Batman or Patchy in Walking with Dinosaurs, you know, his herd was in great peril and the leadership of the herd was changing and things weren't going well for him. And he found a way to rise to the occasion and to become a leader that he certainly never seemed to be born to be. There's always that personal side that you have, no matter what project it is, you know, you come to stories with what you know and you try to tell what you know to be true. No matter how you slice it. And that's certainly, I certainly apply that to everything that I do.
And I think the movie business and your many, many audiences around the world are all the better for it. Barry Cook, it's been a great treat talking with you and hearing your story. Thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.